Genesis. We've been dealing with the home off and on for a couple years now. Something that's very important, I believe. It's something that we've lost in churches is Christian homes. Not just a home, but a Christian home. One that follows the Word of God. Everybody has their place. They try to please the Lord in what they do. So we've been going over this for a while. We just finished up recently on the ideal spouse and looked at what an ideal husband would be and an ideal wife. And it boils down to someone that's willing to love the Lord and do right, obey the Lord. And they care for one another and all those things. And most all of this series that I've been teaching on the home has been recorded and on the website. So you can go back and listen to some of those. I think just about all, every one of them are on there. We finished up talking about the ideal spouse. And I'd like to start tonight and be on this probably for a few weeks on some problem areas or potential problem areas in the home. And problems are going to come up in a home. They're going to. You've heard it said before, and I don't remember where it originated, but I've heard a few different people talk about it, that when you have a home, you have two sinners under one roof. If you have one sinner under one roof, you're going to have problems in the home. But then now you have two, then you begin to have children, and you got three and four, and now you got all these little sinners in the house. Right? There's going to be problems in the home. And those problems need to have solutions to them. And you need to know how to approach those if a marriage is going to survive. Because they're going to come up. And so a lot of marriages, they'll start off, and I'm going to look at tonight on three stages of marriage as an introduction to this portion of the teaching. But there's some serious issues that'll come up in a marriage, and unless they know how to deal with those things, the marriage is not going to make it. And you've seen it over and over and over again. The divorce rate has always been high, too high, but in church it is extremely high. In churches, and now it's not just with older people, it's with younger people that have only been married for a few years. And they run across these issues or problems in the home, and they don't know how to deal with them. And then the next thing you know, they're just parting ways and child support and two homes and all these things go on. And I understand that there's things that happen in a marriage that, sometimes people think are you can't reconcile the things together and all that. And there's always clauses to all these different things. But for the most part, and especially if you believe that God puts you together, if God puts you together, then you need to be together. And you're going to face problems. And there's some homes that God didn't put them together. God didn't put the marriage together. The Bible says, let, whatever God hath put together, let no man pull asunder. And they use that verse to say nobody should get a divorce. Well, there's a lot of marriages that God didn't put together. And I'm not advocating somebody getting a divorce. If you're married, you need to try to get right with God and work it out and move on. And there's some marriages that God didn't put together, but God can put it together. He can fix it, and he can help that thing. And so there's going to be problems that develop in a marriage. And what I want to look at tonight for a few minutes, and I'm going to try to make it through all three. I got three here. The three stages of marriage, and if not, then we'll pick it up, Lord willing, in a couple weeks because we have Vacation Bible School next week. No, not next week. It will be next week. It'll be in 2 weeks that I'll have to wait. All right? So, the first stage of marriage, I'm going to look at these three different stages of marriage. The first stage is the endearment stage. The endearment stage. This is found in that time that people refer to as the honeymoon stage. The word honeymoon is defined in the Webster's 1828 as a period of harmony immediately following marriage. That's the supposed to be the first stage of marriage. All right? It's the stage when each spouse esteems others, the other higher than themselves. Amen. You read about that over in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. We're going to look at the very first marriage in the Bible, the very first couple in the Bible as our illustrations for all these. Look at Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. And I'm going to read several verses here. But we find the first stage of marriage is the endearment stage. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18. Genesis 2 verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet. Is that where you go, wah, wah, wah? Verse 21, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. I don't recommend you doing this, but I heard a man call his wife the other day his rib. He said, "My rib did this." Okay. If she's cool with that. Verse 23, and Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Now God named them both Adam, but Adam called her woman. He was naming all the animals and he named her woman because she was taken out of man. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." They were carefree. Just met. Everything's going great. Right? The endearment stage. He looked at her and said, "Whoa, man." And then here we are. And that's how most marriages get started. Hopefully they get started that way. The endearment stage, it begins somewhere in what should be the courtship, but today very few people court. They go straight to dating. And I preached a lot about that. I think it's wicked, that the whole try it before you buy it mentality. You do that with a car, not a wife. You let God send you a wife and God send you a husband and let him put the two together and then they get married. You don't try it for 6 months and see what happens. That's not how it works. But I'm not preaching on that right now. But so the endearment stage starts somewhere around that courtship and the or dating, as some people do. And then it leads into the marriage and then goes into a honeymoon stage. And it's the time when everything is wonderful. He is absolutely the greatest thing that's ever walked this earth. And she is the most beautiful, smart person that you've ever met in your life. And you're going to live happily ever after. Everything that you've seen online and in movies is happening for you right now. It's all coming true. This is it. The endearment stage. Surely there will never come an end to this glorious bliss. Nothing will get in the way of what's happening right here. We are going to grow old together. We're going to do all these things. And man, it is just absolutely, there's absolutely no fault found in the other person. They're perfect. And the things that are fault are cute. During the endearment stage, it's cute. Everybody's laughing because they know where this is going. They figure there's going to be no problems. And up until this point, more than likely there's not a whole lot. And the little things that come by, they just, you know, kind of shrug them off. They're so in love with one another. And the endearment stage is a perfect relationship for the new husband and the new wife. They're going to make all their plans, and they've got all these aspirations of the house and the yard or whatever their dream is, and they're excited about taking this whole thing on. Their love has not been tested yet. It's going to be. Absolutely going to be tested. that they would like to stay in that stage forever. And most couples that I've talked to, they believe they're going to stay in that stage forever. That they believe that forever they will be stuck in that honeymoon stage. We're never going to get past the honeymoon stage. They believe that. This is just a side note, but you know the same thing happens with us in a Christian life. The day that we get saved, our allegiance is to God. We read our Bible every day. We pray every day. We're faithful to church. We don't miss a service. We don't miss soul winning. Man, we are excited about what God had just done for us. I mean, on fire for God. And then trouble comes. And trials come. And some of those are sent by the Lord to test you. And some of those are sent to make you a better Christian. And some of those are sent, you can look over in James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 sometime. 1 Peter chapter 1, it talks about the trying of our faith. And you know, it's through those times that we realize how precious Christ is. When we start going through some, now He saved us and we're grateful for that. But man, when we go through some things and we realize how precious He is and how precious that relationship is. So in a couple's life, they go through the endearment stage. And I'm going to spend a little bit more time on this middle one because this is the one where most marriages fall off track. This is where most of them get off board because the honeymoon will be over sooner or later. It's going to happen. You got the endearment stage, and the second stage is called the adjustment stage. The adjustment stage. Let's look at the very first couple in the Bible again. So we ended with them. They marry, they leave and cleave, and everything's wonderful. They're not ashamed. Everything's great. All right, Genesis chapter 3. You know what happens in Genesis chapter 3. Trouble comes. And let me say this, that if you have a marriage that pleases Christ and He puts you two together, the devil's going to try to get you apart. And he's going to do whatever it takes. And we find out he went to the weaker vessel. And you know what happens in Genesis chapter 3. Now let's pick it up in verse number 16. The Lord's handing out the judgments for the sin that was committed. The trouble has come into the home. Unto the woman He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. And sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam He said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothed them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and of a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. The honeymoon for Adam and Eve is officially over. Sin has entered into humankind. Reality is now slipping in for these two. Now the man finally clicks in his mind that he has to get up and go to work every day. He can't just call in because he wants to go play with his friends. He can't stay up and play video games all night because he's got to go to work the next day to take care of his wife. He can't, in the society we live in today, he'll stay home and play games and send her to work. But all these things are beginning to become a reality to them now, that they have responsibilities. He has to be an adult now. And I'm not going to spend time going back to the leave and cleave. But if a young man's going to marry a young lady, he needs to be ready to leave his parents and provide for his wife. Have a place to live and have income and take care of his family. And so we find that they're now in this stage of adjustment. He has to earn a living and take care of her regardless of what it takes. The honeymoon stage is gone. The wife begins to realize some facts too. She begins to realize that she has responsibility of taking care of a grown child. He's learning. Have you met these men today that are married? They're just grown children. She realizes that she's got to take care of him, and now she's got a home to keep for. She's got to cook. She's got to do these things. They start realizing that there are issues and problems, that there's bills. All these things start to pile up at one time. They're leaving the honeymoon stage, and they're going into the stage of needing to adjust. So we're married now, and it's not just me. I have somebody else I'm responsible for. He's responsible to her. She's responsible to him. And no longer is it whatever I want. And when they finally wake up one day and realize that, this is when it all starts being tested. And a lot of times, one of the two will be more selfish than the other. And then we start having problems. We start throwing out slurs to one another and comments back and forth that are derogatory towards the other person. And, well, I'm doing this. I wish you would just do this. And things like that begin to build up. They recognize during this stage, you recognize and they begin to recognize that their marriage is not going to survive on just saying, I love you. It's going to take more than that. It's going to take a lot more than that because they're about to face troubles, temptations, sorrow, heartbreak, disappointment, and it's going to have to survive on more than just I love you. There's a lot that changes during this time. I've mentioned this before in preaching through this series, how you'll have a young couple that they're, you know, fighting and they're upset at each other and they can't stand each other. And as soon as they separate, they'll get on social media and get this big long post about how they love one another. They won't tell each other that, but they'll put it on there for the world to see. If I apologize to him on social media and he reads it somewhere, maybe he'll forgive me for the whole world to see. How many times have I seen this? And I'm like, well, man, they were madly in love online a few minutes ago. Now they're getting a divorce. You've seen it over and over and over. Your marriage has no business being on social media. Period. God sent Adam and Eve out of the garden where they had it complete. They had it made. During that honeymoon stage, that's what you think. Man, I've got it made. Now Adam's got to go out and till the ground that he came out of. And a marriage gets to a place where it's sweat, it's work, it's tears, it's heartbreak, it's heartache. God drove the man and the woman from their honeymoon place into a world of woe and sorrow and disappointment, and they can never go back to those days. How many times have you heard a couple, or maybe even you said it yourself, I wish we could go back to those days? You can't go back to those days. You can't go back to the days before your kids. You can't go back to there's a lot of couples today, they want to, the men, they want to go back to being single and carefree. That's what they want. They want to be single with no responsibility again. Too late. Too late. Things begin to change and honeymoon is over. There's never going back to that stage. It's gone. So now you've got two people that are sinners under one roof that were madly in love with one another, and now they're bordering on having a hard time even looking at each other. And maybe the scenarios are different for every couple, but this is just a reality that you see in marriages today. And it's probably some that anybody that's married any length of time in here has gone through some of these things. It takes work to love each other. It takes work to get up and go to work to provide for your family. It takes struggle. I've got to get up and do this to take care of them. And this is an adjustment period for both of them. They have to adjust to these things. There's a realization sets in. A responsibility comes over them. And sadly, this is where a lot of them go their separate ways. And unfortunately, because they decided to start the marriage off with a child, now there's a child to deal with. And there's a child involved. Because very rarely do people get married and spend time together and pray, and the child comes later. Now it's right off the bat. And so they begin to have to adjust. And they'll either adjust to this new marriage that they had no clue it was going to be this way. They'll either adjust or it's going to break to pieces. One of the two. One of the two have to happen. And you might say, well, some of them stay together for the sake of the children. It's a broken marriage. I don't care if they stay together 20 years. It's a broken marriage. It's not the way that God wants it. Not the way that God wants it. The wife finds out that her knight in shining armor really doesn't have that big of armor. And that he's no longer shining very brightly. She starts to see him for who he is. I talked about this before. You know, she starts noticing the underwear laying on the floor and the socks. Before, she didn't mind picking it up, and now it's frustrating. He's not as perfect as she thought he was. And guess what? He's not. He begins to discover a great disappointment. His bride is not nearly as sweet as he thought. Somebody needs to give Brother Jeremy a ride home tonight. Good thing Brother Bowen's already home. They begin to see different sides of one another that they've never seen before. And they say, well, I thought I knew this person. I fell in love with them. We spent time together. We did all these things. And they start to see a side of somebody that they've never seen before. And this is where it takes adjustment. And gradually, they become more and more and more and more aware that they have human nature just like you do. And you realize that they have faults. And this is where, in this stage of adjustment, is when you decide that charity covereth a multitude of sins. And I'm not saying you put up with, you know, are okay with somebody sinning. Tornado, something. Nope. A police officer got shot. Need to pray. We always need to pray for them, but things are getting crazy. But it's during this time that they begin to see each other for something different than the one that they just fell in love with and got googly eyes over. Because they have faults, and there's things, and they've got temperaments, and there's things that aggravate them, and there's things that, and it just builds on top of one another. And it's during this time where, when you have two selfish people, that they'll begin to pick at one another, and they'll find something that aggravates the other person, and they don't do it because they're laughing. They're doing it because they want to get at them. And they want to have the last laugh. They want to have the last, not laugh, but the last jab. This is a very, very critical time in a marriage. They must learn to accept their spouse for who they are and learn how to adjust to those things. If not, it's going to be broke. And again, people may stay together for 20 years, but it's a broken marriage. It's not the way that God intended it for it to be. And there's some that do stay together and there's some that don't. But it's during this time of adjustment, that we find out really quickly who is ready for this third stage, and that is commitment. The third stage of a marriage is commitment. Those who survive the adjustment stage, they find themselves in a committed marriage. We're going to be here for the long run. Adam and Eve, we find them having a perfect environment. We find them going through a hard time. The devil got in their marriage and got to her. And then they had two boys, and one killed the other one. There's people that don't make it through that. Marriages that don't make it through that, that lose a child, they go through hardship. Somebody falls into sin. Eve walked right through the door of sin. And your spouse is not perfect. The one that you married is not perfect. They're going to fall into sin at times. But this is the portion of the marriage where it decides if it's going to make it or not, and that's commitment. Look at Adam and Eve again for this stage. Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 25 and 26. What we find here in these two short verses, we find the perfect environment, we find trouble, the last couple chapters, trouble after trouble after trouble. But guess what we find in verse 25? We find Adam and Eve still together. We find, it says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she had appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And we find that they stayed together. They learned how to work through hard times. They learned how to adjust to him getting up, having to work overtime to take care of the bills. They learned how to adjust to that. They learned how to work together with their children, and when one of their children sinned and messed up, they learned how to work together through that. They weren't divided over it. Their kids didn't divide them up. They stayed together. They stayed unified. Problems will never come between them now because they made it through the adjustment period, and now they're committed, and they're committed that nothing will come between you and I. I mean, we've been through a lot. Nothing's coming between us now. They trust each other. They love each other. They're never going to allow these problems that we're going to go over in the next few weeks to come between them. They're going to work it out regardless of what happens. This is the third stage. This is the commitment. We're here to the end. Adam and Eve obviously were a couple who had some serious problems. We see that in these texts. They raised two boys. One of them killed the other. One was obedient to his parents. The other one was a reprobate and rebellious and ended up getting a curse put on him. That's a hard thing for parents to deal with. And we find today, listen, you should never stop loving your children. But you don't be acceptant of their sin. If there's a sin against God, you cannot be acceptant of that. You say, well, I love them and I want to support them. And man, you pray for them and you don't ever stop loving them. You don't ever stop praying for them. Nobody's asked you to do that. But you don't parade their sin. You can't do that. You got to stand with God. You got to stand with each other, a husband and wife. But I've seen many of kids that were rebellious, and they went off, and either mom or dad decided to go after a child than they would the spouse, and they ended up causing major problems in the marriage. So Adam could have looked at Eve, and if it was a modern day scenario, and it happened throughout Scripture and other places, but he could have looked at her and said, "What's the use? I'm getting out of this thing. She messed up. I'm going home to mama." Now, he couldn't do that. But people today do it all the time. She gets upset. I'm going home to mama. Adam and Eve couldn't do that. But that's what they do today. They could have said, I can't believe they sinned and messed up. Blaming each other for what happened with the boys. All these things. They could have been easily persuaded to say, why even try? I quit. So, well, how do you know that? Because mankind's been doing it ever since. How many couples go home and they look at each other and say, I can't. I'm not doing this no more. They never made it through the adjustment stage. Listen, he's not perfect. She's not perfect. That's going to take some adjustment. Say, well, I just wish they would have been like this. That's not who I married. This is not what I signed up for. That's what everybody begins to realize when they go to the adjustment time. It's not exactly what you thought it was going to be. But the words, I can't take it, I can't do this, we're not going to do this, we don't find this anywhere in Adam and Eve's life. We don't find it anywhere in there. They said, we have heartaches, we've had sorrows, we had one son kill another, now this one's cursed, sent off to be a vagabond, devil got in our marriage right from the get-go, but we're going to stick this thing together. God is still with us. God put us together. God's going to keep us together. And we can do this with His help. And we can make it through this thing together. That's the commitment stage. The commitment stage is, Lord, I can't do it, but You can help me do it. And with Your help, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to provide. I'm going to love. I'm going to submit. I'm going to obey. I'm going to serve. I'm going to take care of. Because that's what God told me to do, and because I trust Him, and we're just going to do this. The commitment stage. Most people, I don't know how they do it today when they're getting married, because they're doing it all weird ways, but when people stand in church before God, they say, till death do us part. And it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. You know what they should say? Until we have this problem, that's when we're parting. It's not till death do we part. It's till we have a problem in the home. It's till she doesn't see it my way. It's till he doesn't understand. And that's not how it should be. It should be till death do us part. Sickness, health, all those things that are part of a marriage vow. Those people that were saved when they got married, most of the time, if both parties were saved, they believed that God put them together. And God can keep them together. Now listen, I told you a moment ago, there's scenarios where God didn't put them together. In some of those scenarios that God did not put them together, God made it work. Because they gave their life to God, they trusted Him, and He made it work. And those that God didn't put them together and they're not going to trust God, it's going to be a broken marriage forever. So there's a choice to make. Am I going to give my marriage and give myself to God to do whatever He's asked me to do, whether it as a husband is to lead my family, to love my family, as a wife to submit, to serve? Am I willing to do that? And God, You take this thing, or am I just going to make it a broken mess the rest of my life? That's really what it boils down to. There's three stages. Most marriages never make it past the second stage of adjustment. That's sad. But man, what a joy and what a blessing it is to see a couple that's in that third stage. That stage of commitment. Brother McFadden's going to be with us on Sunday. His wife passed away last year. But man, every time they came to our church, they were a tremendous blessing. I mean, they've been married, I don't know, 60-something years, and just you just saw them together, and you said, man, that is, you know, that's what I would love my marriage to be. If the Lord tarries. Amen. And you see couples like that. There's a lot of illustrations you can give of marriages like that. And man, what a blessing it is. But what's sad is most of the marriages we have in our churches and outside of the doors of this church are ones that are in the adjustment stage and they can't get over it. They don't trust one another. They're backbiting against one another. They're pinning their kids against each other. And it's a constant fight over and over and over again. And there's this idea of I'm right, they're wrong, and that's all there is to it. And you have to be willing to be right and take a back seat. it's an adjustment stage. And it takes two people, I understand, to do all these things. But I don't think some people understand how big of a God we have. And I think he can do it. We pray, say, God, do it. And then we turn around and we take control ourselves. And then we say, God, why didn't you do it? Lord, would you please get a hold of him and help him? Nothing wrong with that prayer. But then we turn around and we try to take control of the situation. Lord, would you please help her? God, please, we're struggling with these things. God, would you help her? And then we turn around and we try to force it and make it happen ourselves. And God's like, you wouldn't let me do anything. You wouldn't let me help her. You wouldn't let me help him. Why? Because you had to have control. Amen? Three stages of marriage. I didn't mean to preach tonight. So we're going to start looking at some of the problem areas. The first one's financial. These are things that are going to enter a marriage, guaranteed. And I know I'm talking to the choir because most folks in here have been married for a length of time, and you've seen some of these things. You've gone through some of them. But for sake of recording, and we do have some young couples that recently got married. They're not all here tonight. But they need to hear these things. They're not going to be taught them anywhere else. Because society and social media is teaching, if you hit one of these problem areas, just trade them in for somebody else. Greener on the other side. It's not. The big house, the boat, the car, all those things come with a debt that you think that guy has that's so wonderful. Man, if I was just married to him, it's not that great. Right? Or if I was just married to her. There's some guys that court or date young ladies and they get home after the honeymoon and wake up the next morning and realize they married Leah, not Rachel. Because when all the makeup came off, it was a totally different person. Woke up the next day and said, who are you? That's when adjustment starts quickly for that part. All right, let's all stand. Lord, thank you for loving us, God. We thank you for being a great God and a great Savior, as Brother Jeff started off the service with praying, Lord. And Father, I thank you, Father, for this precious book, the examples that we have in it, Lord. I thank you for the marriages, Lord, of examples that I've seen in my life, God, that have been great examples. We have some in this room. I'm thankful, Father, for all that you've done. Lord, I pray, God, that we'd please you in all that we do. Lord, help us to take these things and apply them to our heart, Father. If there's anybody here tonight, God, that's struggling with some of these things, Lord, I pray that they would just swallow their pride, God, take responsibility, allow you to help them, Father, to be the husband, to be the wife that you've called them to be. Father, thank you for being so good to us. Lord, I want to thank you tonight that when I mess up and I don't do as I ought to do, Lord, that you have patience with me. And Father, that you still love me, God, and that you're kind with me and you guide me and help me, Father. Lord, you're our example. And we thank you for it, Lord. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. We give us a good weekend, Lord. I pray, God, you'd hold the weather off, Father. I have no clue who this police officer is or the situation, Lord, but you do. I pray for him tonight or her and the situation surrounding it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.